A natural gas disaster in the Merrimack Valley in September, along with a pipeline overpressure emergency in Woburn last month, have focused attention on the state's aging natural gas delivery system. Maintaining safety is the job of utility workers who detect and then repair the leaks. But unionized workers for the state's largest utility, National Grid, remain locked out in a contract dispute. They say they'll make a new contract proposal later today. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman spent a day reviewing pipeline risks with a veteran pipeline worker and union official and has this report.
We're entering the season when the 21,000 miles of gas pipelines that crisscross the Commonwealth are most vulnerable to leaks that can lead to disaster.
The potential for these types of situations is much greater in the wintertime when there's a frost cap, when all the gas is on.
John Bonapane has worked for Massachusetts gas utilities for more than three decades. He's also president of one of the unions whose 1,250 workers have been locked out by National Grid. The company replaced them with managers and contract workers, all certified to work on gas pipes. National Grid says its policies and safety procedures exceed federal and state standards. But after the Woburn overpressure problem in October, the Department of Public Utilities imposed a moratorium on National Grid's new work, pending a review of the company's safety practices.
You're talking about situations that are literally sometimes life-threatening, so you have to think on your feet. And I'm going to walk you through a couple of these today, because I don't think a lot of people know the things we face in the field. This is Broadway and Silver Street in Malden. This area has some of the oldest gas lines in the country. This is the first house I evacuated as a gas technician, probably almost 30 years ago now.
A neighbor smelled gas. Bonapane got the emergency call, rushed to the scene, and knocked on the door. No answer.
One of the things you're taught when you don't get an answer at the door, you insert your leak detection probe in through the mail slot. So I did that, and I pumped it, and I pumped it, and I saw the needle start to go up.
And up, and up. Bonapane began banging on the door. He heard an elderly woman say, "Hold on."
She opened the door, and I strong smell of gas right in the face, and I grabbed her coat, picked her up, brought her outside. It was very cold. I put her in my van, which was parked right here, ran back in the house, started opening all the windows. That was the first experience I ever had like that.
It was not the last. Massachusetts winters are tough on gas pipes. Frozen ground can crack brittle cast iron and snap bare steel, creating leaks that can range from small to deadly and be difficult to detect. Frost caps buried in the soil can spread leaking gas far and wide.
I had a gas leak in this building. It wasn't serious, but we found that there was a pipe leaking in there.
John Bonapane seems to recall every gas emergency he's ever responded to. Stopping frequently, we tour blasts from the past in Malden, Melrose, and Stoneham.
This house here was completely demolished from a gas explosion.
What happened?
I think it was a broken gas main, and it was cold. It was in the wintertime, and the gas migrated into the house. And, anything can ignite. It could be a light switch. It could be the doorbell. And that's why one of the things they tell us, when you respond to a gas odor, you don't ring the doorbell.
It's interesting because most of the time you guys are invisible. The pipes are invisible, the service is invisible, and you guys are invisible.
And it's really thanks to the people out in the field, because if you don't have the experienced workforce, that institutional knowledge that's imparted from one generation of gas workers to the next, so that it doesn't happen again, right? You got to learn by what happens, or you're doomed to repeat it. It's so true. It's one thing learning in a book or a classroom. It's completely different when you're learning in the field.
Bonapane's mobile phone rings a lot these days. Locked out union members are monitoring National Grid replacement workers at job sites, video recording alleged safety violations.
If that soil that was removed is contaminated, that's a major no-no.
Calling in from East Boston is Rocky Leo, a gas worker with 32 years of experience in the field.
And okay. Again, right now it is not active. I'm going to see if that's going to be active.
All right, let me know. Every person that does what I do for as long as I do has their own stories. where real serious incident was prevented. Every person.
For example, Rocky Leo.
The main was down 11 feet deep. There was 60 pounds blowing.
Leo tells the story of a near disaster in Maplewood Square in Malden. He was working for Keyspan on a broken high-pressure gas main.
I had to get into a hole that was 3 foot in diameter, and there was a crew above watching. But at that depth, they had no way of pulling me out of the hole if it ignited.
That was about a dozen years ago, just before British-based National Grid bought Keyspan, creating the largest utility in New England.
And at the time, the company did not have any safety harnesses or tripods. We actually had to wrap a street chain around me. It's a chain that we lift steel plates with.
National Grid stresses safety is job one, and they have state-of-the-art technology.
I think National Grid will say, look, these are times past, you know, and we are really much better now. We are a bigger, better company.
Well, in some respects, things are better. Certain types of protection, like a fire suit, breathing apparatus.
John Bonapane's acknowledgement that safety has improved with National Grid is a small but meaningful sign in a dispute where finding common ground has been nearly impossible. Another point of agreement, in the aftermath of the Columbia Gas Merrimack Valley disaster, both union and utility agree the state's Department of Public Utilities should require all gas companies to have the same work safety procedures.
All the companies kind of do things a little differently, and I think that's part of the problem in Massachusetts, that the DPU has allowed these companies to operate differently. In my opinion, there should be one standard of operation for everybody, like a code.
There is no code?
Well, there's different regulations that they have to follow, but each company develops their own manual on how to meet those regulations, how to follow those regulations. And I think that's the problem. National Grid shouldn't have to learn by Columbia's mistake.
That deadly mistake was a powerful reminder that while pipelines are out of sight, natural gas is a product that demands respect. And as we enter the winter high season, National Grid is still dependent on replacement gas workers. With little time off and under intense scrutiny, they're stressed. And locked-out union workers are strained under the cost of health insurance and their unemployment checks running out. The last time union gas workers in Massachusetts were locked out was a quarter century ago. It lasted 17 weeks. This one is in week 22, and National Grid's lockout grinds on. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Kellerman.